Now, you guys just opened up the Start Garden Clubhouse. Besides being the home to Start Garden, what are you looking at offering there?
So it's basically kind of a very flexible space. It's street level. It's right on a corner. It's easy to find, navigate to, get in and out of. And we have these monthly update nights. It's really kind of the evolution of 5x5 night, mm-hmm. where those $5,000 investments give updates on what they've done with that $5,000. So we're having our first one of those in this new space actually on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And we doing a lot of just kind of public programming. So we have happy hours. We have office hours that folks in the community are making themselves accessible to startups. Our IP lawyer is going to be spending 3 hours a week here, just accessible to startups. So we're kind of trying to be that neutral territory for people to gravitate to around starting things. And it's not a dedicated workspace. You don't get a desk here, but it's kind of a cafe to hang out in during the afternoons, and then a lot of those evening activities and events as well.
Now, you're talking about the update nights. I know you've done one already. How have some of those ideas progressed already?
So we generally how the update nights work is that we go into it with a decision really made about who we're going to continue to fund and who we're going to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
This is somewhat countercultural to West Michigan to actually be as forthright as we try to be with those update nights. So what happens is for the first half of the evening, the teams give about 5-minute updates on what they've done.
Sure.
They're not pitching us. It's really an opportunity for the broader community to learn from that experience that they've had. After that, we have kind of an intermission, and then the second half, kind of a sub-panel of the Start Garden team goes through every one, talks about what we are interested in about each one, what we're concerns we have about each one, and then what our decisions are in terms of further funding. And it's either a yes, no, or not yet.
Okay.
Not now. So at least half of them we're saying no to, and that's perfectly all right. We expect most of the at least most of the $5,000 projects to that will be as far as they go, and that's perfectly all right. And that's part of the culture we're trying to build. Is that mm-hmm. that failure and that one measure is perfectly natural and perfectly acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Each update night we've invested further in a handful of companies. Generally, the next sort of amount that we invest is about $20,000. But
right.
the first month, we actually invested $60,000 in one of them. So we don't have like super hard and fast rules about that, other mm-hmm. than we'd say, yes, we're going to invest further. Sometimes we'll say what the amount is, and sometimes it's there's still a lot of figuring out that needs to happen. But we've had it's still extremely early in mm-hmm. this process. We have invested I can't remember the so many numbers floating around in my head lately, from all the art prize artists menus to all the Start Garden numbers. It's hard.
Sure, I can understand.
Pull it up at the drop of a hat, but we've invested in four at $20,000, that one at $60,000. So
okay,
and they're progressing. They're working on their projects, and
Now, you grew up in an extremely entrepreneurial family. What age did entrepreneurship begin to take shape for you?
Oh man, I don't know. It's just kind of part of the culture of my family that. We had a lot of family dinners when I was growing up, and always discussion around business and things that we were doing as a family, or individuals in the family were doing within life, business, et cetera. So,
mm-hmm.
That sort of always working on something is just really kind of baked into who I am, I guess. And,
sure.
I did the classic, lemonade stand thing and stuff like that.
Sure.
but at the same time had a lot of opportunity to travel with my family, which was extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So just have always been interested in starting things, trying things, and ideas.
What were some of the things that early travel opened up for you?
Well, you know, it's just exposure to different cultures, the opportunity to kind of be curious about things. I think that, compulsory schooling does a pretty good job of driving curiosity out of a lot of people.
I agree.
So it's an opportunity to kind of get out of that and be responsible for my own work, and my math homework would always wait for the plane ride home. So it was just kind of an opportunity to be curious in this world and be in a lot of different situations and observe a lot of different cultures and have that spark in curiosity and reading and research and trying to learn more about what this place was, what the history was. I'm
sure.
A total history buff.
Okay.
I'm sure that somewhat comes from that. So, yeah.
Now, I know you're very well read. I've often seen you discuss business books that you're reading at any given time. What are a few recent books that you've read that you feel would be a good value for aspiring entrepreneurs to read?
Oh, man. I've actually been on kind of a fiction kick lately.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think back to some of the best business books I've been reading lately. I mean, I think a lot of people, most people should read The Innovator's Dilemma. That's just wonderful. And there's a whole kind of series of books around that, either by Clayton Christensen or his collaborators. Just an amazing kind of framework to look at technology and how to how it works, how you can introduce it and business models and all these sort of things. So that's been really great. I'm trying to think of what else has been on the business reading thing lately. I just read a complete kind of diversion from that, a really bizarre and haunting but really good kind of little fiction book called The Mount that is this sci-fi book of in the future. This we've been like colonized by this race of aliens that ride us around and breed us like horses.
Oh, wow.
It's really good. It's one of those books that you know your teachers would make you read in middle school, and
sure.
Then you'd have like lots of discussion groups about it or
sure.
Something. So it's a very, very easy sort of read, but it's a very good little book. So yeah.
Any other business ones come to mind?
Well, if I could get to my Kindle, I could tell you what I've been reading lately, but I have the problem of having about 20 books going at any given time.
Sure, sure.
Now, Kindle does not help with that.
In your wheelhouse talk, you were briefly talking about trolls, and certainly anybody who puts themselves out there in the public eye in any way, shape, or form is going to have to deal with trolls who kind of, pick their ideas apart. How have you found best to deal with those types? Ignore them, see what they have to say, see if it's constructive, other than just being snarky. What are your thoughts and feelings?
Well, I think there's a balance between kind of listening and trying to figure out like, is there anything actually valid that's being said here,
sure.
Or is it just bitterness and impotent rage expressing itself in some sort of criticism that doesn't actually have any basis in reality. So,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm slightly, neurotic in a way and just kind of always obsessed about like what's the next thing to do, like how to make things better so that, the desire is always, I guess at some level to always be listening to as much input as possible.
Right.
But at the same time, I can completely drive you crazy and, this sort of, it can kind of chip away at your bravery and your desire to just kind of try something, and let it unfold.
Sure.
So, it's a dance. I mean, it clearly needs to be more on the ignore side than on the listen side though, because things just, you need to just kind of try things.
Sure.
And it inevitably, not everybody's going to get it. And inevitably some people are going to be really ticked off about it. I'm constantly amazed at what ticks people off.